Hello, you're listening to episode 20 of A Complete Abridged Record Collection, the radio show / internet broadcast / internet podcast where I play one song from every record in my record collection, and I tell you a little bit about the song and my life, and it becomes weirdly personal and emotional. So, to begin, amazingly, episode 20, I have a guest in the audience / on-air booth, because let's face it, this is internet radio, so pretty much the only audience is myself, which makes sense for this show, at least. So I have a guest here, and usually it's me interpreting my own life, but I think this week I'm going to get some assistance from my guest, Miss Natalie Snoyman. So the first record I'm going to play is a classic. I'm just going to say, first of all, let me just start off by saying it's a classic in my collection. Slater Keeney's Dig Me Out. Natalie, what does this record tell you about my life? What do you imagine it means?
That at one point in your life, you may or may not have been a riot girl. I'm kidding.
Okay, continue then. Well, let's just say it was the, I think, grade 9 when I bought it, possibly grade 8, and it was during a pretty golden era of music, 1990, I guess it would be grade 9, 1997, and it was one of my top favorite records for many years, probably still up there, although I don't listen to it very frequently anymore, because they came out with, like, 10 records right after it that sounded all the same, so kind of diluted it, sort of. But
where did you purchase this record, David?
I think I probably bought it in Victoria. I'm not sure exactly which record store. I think it was the pre-Ditch days, so possibly at Lyle's place. And later, I went on to see them at one of the first shows ever when I went to university. With Tracing the Plastics. Pretty good show. Pretty good show indeed. So,
would you say this is your favorite Slater Keeney?
This is my favorite Slater Keeney album. And my favorite Slater Keeney song is One More Hour.
Out. I can hear the soft breathing of the girl that I love as she lies here beside me asleep with the night. And her hair in a fine mist floats on my pillow, reflecting the glow of the winter moonlight. She is soft, she is warm, but my heart remains heavy. And I watch as her breasts gently rise, gently fall. For I know with the first light of dawn I'll be leaving, and tonight will be all I have left to recall. Oh, what have I done? Why have I done it? $5 and pieces of silver I held up and robbed a hard liquor store. My life seems unreal, my crime an illusion, a scene badly written in which I must play. Yet I know as I gaze at my young love beside me, the morning is just a few hours away.
Well, that, of course, was the soothing sounds of Simon and Garfunkel from their Wednesday morning 3 a.m. album, the title track, Wednesday morning 3 a.m. And Simon and Garfunkel, of course, a classic of the high school days. My best friend Morgan Tams and I were pretty into, Mrs. Robinson and Bookends, that album. We even, I had a Simon and Garfunkel songbook. One of the first songs I learned how to play on guitar was Simon and Garfunkel. What psychological insight does that give you, Natalie, about me? Seem to be choking under the pressure of trying to interpret my life through song and through records, which is what I do here every week. Classic band, that's all I can say. And before that, we listened to Slater Kinney, another high school classic, a little later on, and well into university. Millions of stories could be told about Slater Kinney. Well, coming up next, this is a record that I bought from my favorite store in Los Angeles, California. Record City. It's a great store on Pico Boulevard. And this is an album from 1968 by a band called Smubs, which has an incredible cover, but for some reason I never really listened to it very much. And it's almost never been played before, which Record Surplus, the store, has very many of these records from the late 60s. Never been played before by bands that you've never heard of. Well, this is Smubs in a song called Mama's Blues from an album called This Is the End of the Night. And it basically, it's an intrepid song.
Rolling.
You're right.
That is The Shop Assistants with a song called Big E Power from a 12-inch of the same name. A record that I purchased in Edinburgh, Scotland, from a store called Avalanche Records. They apparently found a box of Shop Assistants 12 inches and sold them for the original price of £3. True story. 2005. And you know what? In my opinion, wasn't as exciting as I thought it would be. It was pretty exciting. But exciting find, musically not as exciting as I thought it would be. Well, coming up next here, another classic from an era when I was trying to put together the Nuggets compilation of our generation. It is a man named Ron Short from his album Cities of Gold. Pretty much self-released album and a pretty classy guy. And some great songs, some great post-disco dance songs from 1981. Possibly defining of our generation. The song we're going to hear today is a song called The Good Life by Ron Short.
Good life. Oh, I got a diamond ring up on my hand. have I been the same?
Jane Siberry there with a song called Extra Executives from 1984 on an album called No Borders Here, which I particularly like the fact that it has a map that I can't tell where it's from and then some different colored land masses on it. And I bought that record at the San Diego Kobe swap meet. Can you guess why I might have bought that record, Natalie, at the swap meet? Because what do you think? It wasn't very good, right? Well, the song's kind of cool.
Yeah. The cover is pink. And there's a portrait of the artist on the back. She's wearing some pretty futuristic eye makeup.
That definitely helps. Futuristic eye makeup actually helps almost any record be more appealing to me. But actually, Jane Siberry is a famous Canadian that I'd never given a chance before. Makes sense, right? This is a story that unfolds many times in this radio show, right? Where I have bought something because it's Canadian and I moved to the U.S., even though it's not that good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a piece of the homeland.
Mm-hmm. And before that, we listened to Ron Short, Good Life. What did you think about that, Natalie?
I personally wasn't a huge fan of it.
You weren't
it.
Feeling it?
No.
I'm really trying to tap into a certain genre of dance music. This next song comes close as well. It's by a guy called Ben Sidran.
Sidran?
Sidran. And the song is called Like Sunny, but the album is called The Cat in the Hat. I think Ben is the cat. Actually, sorry, it's not the cat in the hat. It's the cat and the hat, because there's a guy who's cool, Ben, the jazz funk master, and this guy wearing a hat on the album cover, which is why I was pretty into it. And it's pretty relaxing. It's pretty cool. So let's just take a listen. And this is one of the less jazzy tracks, so it's a little easier on the ears.
Thank you.
sirens sing, traffic screams and death drifts in the sky.
That is an artist by the name of Jimmy Spheris from his Isle of View album, For Roach, a dedication to Roach. And I'm going to have to say pretty crappy song there. Not really a huge fan of Jimmy Spheris, and not really too sure why I bought that record. I forget why. Any ideas, Natalie? I bought it at the swap meet, I can tell you that much, but I don't know why.
Could it have been the cover?
No, the cover sucks.
It's pretty mystical.
I'm not a big fan of mystical stuff.
Some creature.
The back picture is probably more likely because he's like a long-haired dude.
Yeah, it's a pretty big contrast from the front and back.
It's from 1971, and most music from 1971 is pretty fun.
I kind of liked it.
What did you like about it?
Some easy listening, but well with the mood. Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah. What about Ben Sidran? Yeah, the Cat in the Hat.
The best part was the back, the picture on the back cover.
Yeah, you didn't like the funky parts?
Good bass lines.
No. I thought it was pretty amazing, the funky parts. But I guess that will always be the difference between us.
What do you think of the album title from the song we just heard?
Isle of View.
Maybe I Love You. I Love You.
I didn't notice that. That's I have a new respect for Jimmy Spheris right now. I'm going to have to give that album a listen to. The relaxing sounds of Jimmy Spheris. Well, coming up next, what do we have next? Oh, a band called Shoplifting, into the modern age now, relatively modern. Shoplifting, did you notice anything about the Shoplifting album cover? That this my particular copy of the Shoplifting album cover? Anything particular interesting on it?
It was $1.99.
Yeah, $1.99 price tag. This is a classic example of a band that I saw and like really liked, but like wasn't going to buy their record because I didn't have any money. And then like went to the record store and was like, whatever, I'm over them. I never really have to buy their record. They weren't that good. And then like 4 years later, they have like decreased their status to be crappy enough to be found in the dollar bins of America. And that's why I got a Shoplifting record for $1.99. Because I was like, yeah, I liked them 4 years ago. Maybe I can relive that moment. I think we're about to relive that moment with a song called
Raw Nails Now.
Thank you.
Cause we're time and dance, unable worth a broken chance tonight. Cause it's my last chance. Romance, that's right.
That is, of course, unforgettable, unmistakably Donna Summer and a little song called
Last Dance.
And let me tell you, pretty wild. Pretty wild concert. Can you imagine being there? I went through an insane Donna Summer phase. I bought everything I could find.
What?
Every album.
What happened?
Well, do you know who her producer was? Giorgio Moroder. Yeah. Big Giorgio Moroder fan.
As we know from for those that have listened to this show religiously. Like
mm-hmm.
I have.
Yeah. And I found out he produced all of her stuff, so I just bought it all. Beautiful artwork too. All of her albums. She's a beautiful woman, so really you just have to put a picture of her on it and it's a beautiful artwork. So, that is why we listen to Donna Summer, Let's Dance, Live, and More. And coming up next... Oh, sorry, I guess I should cover... In the middle there, we had a song by The Swirlies. From 1992. A song called Cousteau from their album What to Do About Them, released on... Do you know what label that's on? You're looking it up. I'll give you a hint. They used to have their main offices in Mission Beach. That's right. Tang Records from San Diego, California. And I actually bought that album the first time I ever came to San Diego in the ninth grade.
In high school. I remember that story.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good record, especially for 1992. Pretty amazing record. Ahead of its time, folks. And I've noticed recently the Swirlies have had a resurgence of popularity. Have you noticed that?
A couple years ago, I think I noticed.
Yeah, recently. People more into them.
So David.
Yeah? I don't know if people can hear you. Can they hear you? You need to talk closer to the microphone.
I don't know. I feel like mine, I have less screen bars.
Yes, because you're talking so far away from the microphone. See, I'm almost eating it. It's almost inside my mouth, ladies and gentlemen. It's true.
So David, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
As a almost religious listener of mm-hmm. this show, I yeah. would say. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that
yes.
you say that there's more to the story Mm-hmm. You hardly ever actually tell the whole story. Mm. I don't know if it's modesty, maybe.
Well, in which particular, what are we talking about exactly
here? In this
here?
Instance, I'm talking about shoplifting.
I guess my dream is that people will ask me if they do want to learn more about my life. And so I can tell you, truthfully, shoplifting, the first time I ever saw them was I did a show for them at the Che Cafe in San Diego, La Jolla, California, USA. And I was pretty excited because I knew a little bit about them. They're, of course, on the Kill Rock Stars label, which is, you know, canonical in my books. And they were really good, except for the guy, the lead singer, was kind of a dick. True story. He was yelling from the stage for the vocals to be higher almost the whole time, even though they were very high. sounded really great to the rest of us. They weren't that loud on stage because the venue, the Che Cafe, did not have any monitors at the time.
I see.
Mm-hmm. So that's the full story. And that's probably one of the reasons I didn't buy the record that night, but didn't feel, you know, that bad about buying it for $1.99 several years later.
Good story.
That is the full story, the more complete story. There's probably other stories that I don't even remember relating to shoplifting. You know what I mean? Though that's the true thing that I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what happened that night. I don't really remember anything about that night except for, I think Mika Miko opened for them.
Wow.
Possibly touring together. I think that's the first time I saw Mika Miko. Or no, the second time, because the first time I saw them was with Japanther at The Smell, and they played sitting in car seats. It was novel.
In the lobby there.
In the lobby, Smell. Yeah. And it was quite good. This time was not as good. It was more raw, violent. Probably the influence of shoplifting. So there's the complete stories, the circles that we draw. And before that, we listened to... we started that with shoplifting. Yes, that's right. And Swirlies, then Donna Summers. And now we're moving on to a band, The Supremes. Now, Natalie.
David.
How do you think The Supremes... What kind of recent memories would I have from The Supremes?
I mean, just now when we were talking
about them? About 5 weeks ago, maybe, I played The Supremes for a receptive audience. Maybe 6 weeks ago, something like that.
I'm obviously not remembering.
I played them.
Hang on.
I was put in a situation where I had to play music for a wide variety of people, all of which were pretty close to me, and I wanted to please them all.
Yes.
And I found that one of the only things that could please all the members of this group of people was The Supremes.
I know what you're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me?
Sure.
It was at your brother Paul's wedding
mm-hmm.
to his bride, Signe.
Yeah, I had to DJ at my brother's wedding. A daunting task, to say the least.
Well, you had the crowd going when you kicked it off with I think it was the Beatles, maybe?
I think I played the Beatles. I played the Supremes.
But what really brought the house down was Ernie Cato's mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. It's
which
true.
Which was a pretty genius pick for a wedding.
Yeah, there we go. So we're going to listen to The Supremes right now. The song is not exactly a Supremes classic, but a classic in my life. A little song called Hang On Sloopy. That's right. From their A Go-Go album, 1966, The Supremes.
I don't care what your daddy do. Cause you know, sleuth bad boy, I'm in love with you.
Well, there we go. The Supremes there. And hang on, Sloopy. And that brings us to a close of episode 19. I know I introduced it as episode 20, but it's in fact episode 19 of a complete abridged record collection. The internet broadcast / radio podcast where I, your host, David Barkley, what do?
Every week you tell a story about your personal record collection in an attempt to archive your own life.
That's true. I am attempting to archive my own life. Thank you.
What's your tagline? The most self-centered.
It's not a tagline. It's a philosophy of life. And I just feel like this show is extremely self-centered because it's all about me. And if you disagree, I don't even know what to say. But selfarchive.blogspot.com. You can hear all these... the archive of me telling my own story through the records that I have bought over the years. Okay. Good night.